You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Millions of people die each year because they lack clean water. Millions more die for lack of food or because they've been bitten by a mosquito. Many of those who don't die live reduced lives. In the year 2000, several of the wealthiest countries of the world, members of the G8, pledged their help to fight global poverty. A decade later, and just before the G8 conference in Huntsville, Ontario, we have stalled in our targets to help the poor. Dennis Howlett is the National Coordinator for Make Poverty History, and he's in Vancouver from Ottawa, and he joins me on the line now. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Jane.
So, who developed the Millennium Development Goals?
It was actually the United Nations that adopted the Millennium Development Goals in the year 2000. So at the turn of the new millennium, there was a lot of hope that, you know, we now had the knowledge, the technology, the resources that we in fact could end poverty. Previous generations didn't have that possibility. Now we don't have an excuse for the level of poverty we have in the world. So there was a kind of a commitment to try to reduce poverty, extreme poverty, by half within 15 years. And they set 8 goals on gender equality, on health, on AIDS, on children and maternal health, on water, you know, very measurable, realistic goals that could be accomplished within those 15 years.
Well, let's look at hunger to start off with. How is the aid money spent in eradicating hunger?
Well, we may think of food aid as the first thing, but in fact, that only comes into play in cases of natural disasters or some other unusual circumstance. More important is investment in agriculture to help countries grow the food that they need. So that's what we call food security. And on that one, Canada's record has not been great. 10-20 years ago, we gave more of our aid directed at agricultural development. And in over the years, it's fallen down to a very small percentage of our overall aid budget. But last year at the G8 summit in Italy, there was a new pledge for $22 billion to be directed to food security. So on that one, we've got just last year a bit of a hope that, you know, things will start moving in a better direction. We were going down in terms of the number of people who are going to bed hungry every night. We had it down to about just under 800 million. But because of the global food crisis, the impact of climate change, the food prices rising, there are now more people. In the last 2 or 3 years, we're back up to over a billion people who go to bed hungry every night. So the progress has actually reversed on that front.
Now, if we turn now to look at poverty, what role does education play in eliminating poverty in a community?
Well, education is important, not just because, you know, people who are educated can be more productive, but education makes a huge difference in gender equality. So the more women, girls that receive education, the more they learn about their rights and demand their rights and make changes in society that benefit everyone. Also, education informs people about health issues, for example, so they're better able to care for their children, they're better able to take care of themselves, take preventive measures. So education has an impact not just in terms of economic productivity, but also in terms of gender justice and health as well.
Now, I understand that over the decade there has been a successful health initiative that has reduced malaria. Could you tell me a little about that?
There's been a lot of progress made in bed nets. Distributing bed nets have dramatically reduced malaria in a number of African countries. AIDS as well. We've turned the corner on the number of people being infected by AIDS has actually started to go down now. So we do know what works. And many of these things are relatively, you know, small amounts of money that can save lives. So the challenge is, how do we mobilize the resources needed to really roll this out in a big way? And we're hopeful that at the upcoming Canadian G8, the G8 leaders will take an initiative on maternal health, which is one area that has lagged. There are still half a million women who die every year in childbirth unnecessarily. And so we're hoping that this upcoming G8 will commit a significant dollars. The need is for about $30 billion over 5 years to get back on track to achieving the Millennium Development Goal on maternal health.
You know, it's interesting because I think people sometimes think, oh, the whole problem is so big and you know, we can't kind of do anything about poverty or hunger. And yet, when you break it down and you actually take a look at it, like you say, some of the solutions are just so simple.
And the key here is public pressure. The government leaders won't do anything unless they feel their citizens are demanding that they take this kind of action. So that's why we've got an At the Table campaign that we've launched, and you can find out more at thetable2010.org. And you will find there ways that individuals can get involved in putting pressure on G8 leaders to really step up the efforts to get back on track to achieve the Millennium Development Goals and keep the promises they made to the world's citizens.
Well, tell me a little bit about your campaign At the Table.
Well, we're trying to pressure G8 leaders to really take bold action on global poverty and on climate change, as well as deal with the global economic crisis, which, even though we've turned the corner on the worst of it, the impact has been felt most severely by people living in poverty. And so there needs to be really stepped-up efforts to get back on track to achieving the Millennium Development Goals. And the G8 could take a big step by adopting things, actions on maternal health that would pave the way for a breakthrough at the UN this fall in September. They've got a Millennium Development Goals Summit that hopes to really challenge the world leaders to really take the stepped-up efforts required to get us to keep those promises.
And where is Canada's commitment fitting into the whole picture? The financial commitment.
Well, Canada has kept its promise at the 2005 G8 to double aid to Africa, so that's great. But at the same time, they've announced in this last budget that they're going to go through with an 8% increase in the aid budget this year, continuing on annual increases that have been put in place from the previous Liberal government, but that they're going to cap that at that level for 2011. And so that's really not good enough. We've got to carry through, continue to commit. You can't just stop giving when the need is still there. And so we're under, and also Canadian government is shifting aid away from Africa to other countries like in Latin America, which are not in greater need, but where there are more opportunities for Canadian business. And we don't think that's the right direction to go either. We've got to get Canadians involved in pushing our government to really make poverty reduction and action on climate change a priority.
Well, I know you've got to run off and give a talk, and I really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your morning to speak to us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dennis Howlett. He's the National Coordinator for Making Poverty History. I've got a couple of URLs for here. You can get involved with their campaign at their website, makepovertyhistory.ca, or you can check out atthetable2010.org to find out about their At the Table campaign.